Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order and looking for approval of the January 8th minutes.
I move.
Okay.
Second.
In second, okay. All right, moving on. I don't know if there's any public, doesn't look like any public is here, no public comment, okay? And then report on items from city staff, so Julie.
Yep, so City Park Pool is out to bid right now. We had our pre-bid meeting, which is a time for the construction people to come in and ask questions, and we had a good turnout. It was on a blizzard day as well, and so we were wondering, but we had at least 9 general contractors show up and several subs, so that's a pretty good turnout and a lot of good questions. The bids aren't due until a week from next Tuesday, so I think it's the 25th, so we don't know yet. You know, fingers crossed still. Even as of this morning, we were out at City Park Pool so that it could open if it had to. We certainly hope that it doesn't and we can move forward, but we have kept everything so that if the bids come in higher, we don't get, if we only get one bid and it's not a good bid, we'll have to go back to either bid again or to the drawing board. So I keep that open in this project because with the political climate and federal changes right now, bids are all over the place, and we just simply don't know how that's going to affect the project of this magnitude and this size. Everything from tariffs to construction companies being able to get enough employees because they rely on a lot of seasonal migrant workers too, and so we just don't know yet. So fingers crossed.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much has the design changed from what was initially, I guess, proposed to where we're at now?
So what was approved by council was design A with the option of splitting the pool. Yeah. So the only thing that's changed is the pool was split and it's been flipped over. So it's a mirror image of what it was shown as concept A.
So like all the size and the
size, the size, the same number of lanes, the sizes, I don't think we changed the size, maybe a little bit, but not significantly. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
So, yeah. Yeah, and questions, those are good questions. We haven't had as many since we had the council approve the bids and specs, but it is out there. We, with this building, with facilities, this building is getting a new roof. So I thought the construction crew might be out here today. They aren't yet, but they do have the go-ahead to start, and so they should be here soon, and that should take a few days is all. We've been trying to get a new roof on this building for a couple of years, so we're excited to get that done. Tyler's not here, so let me give you a couple of the parks updates. He's going to brag a little bit because he has 10, and this will mean something to Virginia. Maybe you'll have to explain to the rest of the group what it means. 10 International Society of Arboriculture certified arborists on our staff right now.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I think it's all of our forestry staff and a couple of our park staff as well are now certified arborists. Several of them, I think 2 or 3 just took their test last month, so we're excited to have that many. And then Alex, our assistant superintendent of parks, became a certified Parks and Rec professional through NRP, our National Recreation and Park Association, last month too. So they've been using their winter time and their little bit of a downtime to study and get some of these classes and certifications done, which is helpful for us. It just raises the quality and the significance of their, you know, being able to make decisions for trees and that sort of thing. Anything else you can say about being a certified?
It's a broad spectrum of education you have to study to get to pass the exam.
Yeah, and I totally put her on the spot for that. Yeah, sorry. Speaking of that, we pruned about 2,000 street trees this winter. A lot of questions from the public. We have newer trees that are getting trimmed and they want to know why we're doing it already. Well, we start when they're young so that they grow in the correct directions and we don't have problems later on. So
just like people.
Okay, there you go. So they've been out, and most of the parks have also had the majority of their trees pruned. They have most of the seasonal staff hired for parks, forestry, cemetery, athletic fields, and I'm sure Brad will update recreation, but on the parks and forestry side, we're looking pretty good for our summer staff. And we started our prescribed burns yesterday. We did 3 small areas in Hickory Hill Park yesterday. I think they did 2 more today, and I'm not sure the exact locations, but we get in on the days where they don't say red flag warning, don't burn. You know, we've gotten several calls saying, can't believe you did that. There's a red flag warning. That was the day before. And the weather conditions change daily and sometimes hourly. So that's the real benefit of us having enough staff trained in how to do forest fire, or not forest fires, prescribed burns. Alex, our assistant park superintendent, was a forest fire at one point, forest firefighter. But that means if we've got 2 hours of good conditions, we can get out and get a small burn done because we have the staff now and the equipment. And I think that has helped with the quality of our prairies throughout the city. So that's going on right now. You've probably seen there's KCRG's done a story on it. And there's been other press releases and things. We don't always know which parks we're going to burn because it really depends on the wind conditions and everything else. So when it's right, we do it and get it done as quickly as possible. Since we're out here, I wanted to remind you, we are also out to bid on a project here at Ashton House Grounds having to do with REAP Grant. The Project Green got REAP Grant funding, and it's going to add amenities out here. We are like in the perfect location to explain this to you. So you can see the bike trail out here. Off to my right or your left, there'll be a spur off that bike trail on this side that goes down towards the river, and that will have a bird blind on it, our first bird blind in city parks. And then there'll be another spur that comes off up here. It goes into kind of the less wooded areas, and there'll be a fire pit added up there. The other part of it is they will add another trail connection from the street over here, and that will give us another accessible connection up kind of to the backside of the house, but for people getting dropped off or whatnot and or parking along the street, it'll give us a paved entrance from that side, and that'll also include a bike fix-it station, some additional bench, and I think bike racks. So it's a nice small little project, but it's a lot of fun, and some other plantings that they're going to do around that too. So it's out to bid right now. Bids due next week. $200,000, I think, for that particular project. So,
there you go. Cool. Recreation, Brad?
Yeah. So just to kind of follow up with what Julie had mentioned about staffing, right now with the uncertainty related to City Park Pool, we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. Right now, we would be going all in with hiring lifeguard staff and concession workers or front desk staff for City Park Pool. We've been still accepting applications from folks that have expressed an interest in our lifeguarding position, thinking that City Park would be, you know, seasonal, just as we've done the last 75 years, that would be available to them if they hadn't heard the news. But Kaylee is informing them. So Kaylee's our aquatics program supervisor. She's letting them know that we're going to know more here towards the end of March, early April, if the bids are high and we end up proceeding forward with City Park Pool for another season. We are at least positioning ourselves so that we can make that quick pivot and turnaround so that we can do some mass hirings to get enough lifeguards on staff. Right now we're doing well with the number of lifeguard staff that we have for our year-round operations. And, you know, of course, they would be interested in working at City Park Pool for some of those hours, but we definitely would need to ramp up that staffing to be able to get it up to speed. So we'd be behind our normal schedule for that, but it's certainly something that I think that we're capable of doing. Right now, we're also still, I had mentioned this a couple months ago, we're still in a holding pattern for our recreation program supervisor for STEAM Arts and Nature programming, also oversees the summer camp program. So Mallory has actually been behind me here, has been assisting Matt and myself with some of the planning for summer camp. Summer camp registrations have been going well. We capped it at 240 campers this year. It's going to be over at Mercer Park. 240 for the 8 weeks, so it's 30 people per session. 240 would be a huge camp. 30 per week. But we have gotten 200 of the 240 spots filled. We opened that last week, so we expect that we'll be filling that probably here in the next few weeks, I would imagine, as people start to think about summer and their plans. We're kind of wrapping up our first half of the season here, the winter-spring season, as we kind of wrap up the winter months, go into the spring. Spring break is usually kind of our break there, where we don't have a lot of programs going on, and then we start new sessions for a lot of our programs on the backside of that. One of the things that we've done this year, and I've worked with Bill and our communications staff to start doing a mid-season guide. That's something that we're just printing off in-house. It's just a larger 11 by 17 sheet that's folded, but provides information on a lot of the upcoming events and programs that we have going on the rest of the season. We release our, like, let's say our winter spring activity guide was released in December. You know, so people look at it right away, they see all the different things that are coming up. Well, we don't want people to forget about all the other fun stuff that's coming up in the backside of that season. So that's going to become customary for us, is to release that. We'll have that at the rec center, the library, different locations where people can pick that up and see what else we have going on. Summer registration begins April 15th and 16th. We've finalized our last edit of the guide, and that's going to be coming out here probably in the next couple weeks, I would imagine. Just in time for that summer registration season. Garden plots is another registration that we do before we start that summer registration period. And garden plots have been in the renewal period for a while here. We have, they're always very popular. We have 271 garden plots in four parks, and we have renewed 214 of those. So about 80% of our garden plots are renewed. And that is something that we consistently see from year to year. So there is definitely high demand for people to return. So we'll have those other 20% going on March 18th is when those are available to the public, and those usually go pretty quick. So that's my updates. Any questions?
We should mention we had two swimming pool closures recently at Robert A. Lee. Both of them were fecal incidents in the pool that happened during swimming lesson classes. When that happens, we have to close the pool down, shock it. We're closed for at least 24 hours. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it other than to remind parents to please take your children to the restroom before you come in, you know. Yeah. Accidents happen. That'll be one of the nice parts about the new city park pool, is if it happens in one of the three pools, we only have to shut the one pool down. We can keep the other two operating. So I think that'll, this one at this past weekend, it happened on a Sunday afternoon. It actually happened in the waiting pool at Robert A. Lee, but that's still, because they're a connected system, we had to shut down the entire pool. So
yeah. Could you explain what the garden plots are? I'm not familiar with that. Where are
the? Oh, sure. What the parks that they're located at? We've got.
Or what are they for? What are they?
Oh, they're for people to be able to have their own garden. So let's say they don't have the space in their own yard, or they're in multifamily housing. Gives people within the community the opportunity to be able to go out and have their own little garden plot to be able to grow some produce.
So it's community garden type.
Yep.
They actually rent their own spaces and take their own produce. So it's not the kind of where everybody gardens together. They're individual plots.
Right. What are the four parks?
It's so at Chaddock, we have 115 spots. Kiwanis, we have 30 spots. Weatherby, 110 spots. And at Reno Street, we have 16. So Reno is definitely small.
These are a big area. That's nice.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yep. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that leads to commission time and suggestions for future agenda items. So, Alex, you have anything? Okay, Michael?
Yeah, I did have one. If it fits, I was curious about the website information that you have available online, whether it's activity guide information, contact information, the website in general. If the city leads the way on when you review your website, when you rebuild your website, using a different platform, I get a lot of questions from people in the community that say they don't think the website is all that friendly to navigate or as effective as others. And so I don't have one specific point within that or question. It's more so just generally speaking to what input you gather on that. When was it created? When could it be reviewed? All of those.
Yeah, so I'll start the answer. Brad may have to help me with some of this. It's run by our city communications division, which is under the city manager's office. So it's a citywide website. Now, we update Parks and Rec pages with information. So if you ever find that our information isn't current, that's on us. But as far as the overall web website design. That's a citywide effort. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago was when it was last overhauled. And we're actually in the process right now of going through everything and making sure that it's ADA compliant, which will actually change a lot of websites that you see and how how you manage and navigate through them. So it's always good to get feedback. And if you could find out, like, specifically what parts are they having trouble finding, because if it's something in our pages that we can rearrange, we can do that. Because we're always trying to figure out what's the right answer to that exact concern or question, because we do hear it from time to time. And some things, like I said, we have control over as a department. Some things are bigger than us. Is that answered? And I'll let Brad add anything else if you...
Yeah, I think that's the gist of it. So April 2026, I believe, is when all municipal, state, federal websites have to be fully ADA compliant. And so our communications department is being proactive with trying to get everything that runs through, any PDF files, any documents that we have linked on the website, any pages that we have linked on the website. So if we're in contract with any third-party providers, from my understanding, that's going to be, they're going to have the impetus to become compliant on their side of things too. So anything that's linked from the city's website has to come into full compliance by April of next year. So yeah, so it might change what some of the documents look like, and it shouldn't change navigability.
I wouldn't expect an overhaul again for another 5 years, probably, at this point, would be my guess.
So yeah, I think it'd be helpful if you had some additional insight on kind of what pages they were having problems with, if it was pertaining to the Parks and Recreation or if it was just the city's website in general.
My take is it was more general, but I can also try to get some more info on that. And I don't know if anybody else ever hears that, but if you do...
I use it all the time, and it's not an intuitive website in general.
As somebody who works with the government, and our website for a long time is the same issue of just, like, because the public wants... There's always somebody in the public who wants some piece of information, and, like, I have to move it on your site. So trying to, like, have every single piece of information on there, but then try to have it in a way where you're not going, like, six clicks deep to get to something.
Right.
It's like, it's really difficult. We had to put our stuff to be ADA compliant a few years ago, and it's huge overhaul to try to make it. And I'm still not super navigatable, but it's the thing I've noticed on the site too, as somebody that's just like, yeah, it's a government website. It's like really not easy to navigate.
Yeah, I appreciate those difficulties. I just think it's a forward-facing mechanism, and if it's something that we hear a lot from people, I can try to get more input if anybody else can on specifics, but it seems that that's what a lot of people go to, and if they are frustrated by it, they may not sign up for a program. Sure. They may just go elsewhere.
Yeah, appreciate that. That's good.
Thanks.
Missy?
Just to follow up on that, is there, like, a physical way that people can come in and call, either come in or call to register for classes if the website? Okay, that's
right. Yeah.
That's what I always do, is I just tell people, here's the phone number. If nothing else, seek out Gabe, and he's going to put you in the
I know the Gabe version.
Sure, this staff is always happy to
have. Yeah, you can always call and help that way.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Virginia?
No.
Okay.
I had just a question. Are we Red Cross certified for lifeguard training?
Yes.
Okay, because it's not on the list of the Iowa Parks Recreation Association having the convention coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking through that, I think 2 weeks, and I saw the list of American Red Cross and they were on. I thought, wow, that shouldn't be true.
We're a provider for the Red Cross. So
okay, that's what I heard. That's why I was curious. But
we'll find out
on
their
side, under resources under aquatics.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. So that was my question.
Okay.
I'll
look at that.
Yeah.
Can I use more
lifeguards?
Yeah. Sure. Rachel?
I guess I don't. Well, I was in here in January, and so I missed Michael and Jeff's favorite parts.
Oh, yes.
Because
you're new.
Yes.
What was your favorite park?
Well, I live next to Pappy Dickens at Hickory Hills, so I'm really biased in my evaluation, but I just think so many parks, I always see these amazing with the number of parks they have. in general, I just think it's, you guys have done a great job in terms of being the flex part and getting us out here on that trip. So that's my answer. Thank you.
Well, I'm just a few blocks from Weatherby, so I'm kind of biased there, but growing up here, it was Hickory Hill by far. Mm-hmm.
I did have another question. I call McPherson Park Jam Park because it's simpler. So in Jam Park, there's some neighbors and I guess a community member who's a child passed away suddenly or over time from cancer. And she, my understanding, she was a sculptor and an artist. And I just wondered at the possibility of having a bench that could commemorate her since she lives so close to the park.
We have a memorial bench program. Yeah, it's unfortunately it opens and it fills very quickly, so it's closed for this year. We already quote sold out. That's not quite the right word for that, but we do 10 to 12 benches per year. That's about what our staff can handle. They're $1,500 donation for the bench and the plaque.
Gotcha.
So and Gabe is actually the know-it-all for that program. So
great.
Yeah, talk with Gabe.
If a park isn't listed on the, like I've looked at that for a family member, and there was like, oh, I wanted to be in this park, but it wasn't one of the options. Can you ask?
You can ask. Okay. I can tell you, though, that Terry Trueblood and Hickory Hill are full.
Okay.
That's our two most popular requests.
Sure.
And we're trying to branch out to other locations.
Yeah, we just have benches all around Terry Trueblood.
Yeah. And
along the river, water view everyone wants.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any dad.
Okay. I just have one. Someone asked me. Okay, they wonder why at Waterworks Park. We're in charge of Waterworks Park. Yeah,
kind of. So kind of yes and kind of no.
Okay,
so
they don't. They wonder why there's no tree swallow houses this year.
Oh, that was a community member that put those up.
Okay.
So I don't know why it hasn't been done, but it's a volunteer effort.
Okay.
So it might just be that the volunteers no longer able to do it.
Okay. She's afraid the birds are going to keep on going and not stop.
Yeah.
Is there someone she can contact about that?
If you can get my info, Tyler can probably
Tyler. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I figured. Okay. And that's all I have. So if we're ready to adjourn, we call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Second.
Second.
All right. Meeting adjourned.